Alternative.
3CR Breakfast, alternative news, analysis and current affairs. Monday to Friday, 7am until 8:30am. And good morning, welcome to 3CR on International Day of People with Disabilities. Today is an all-day broadcast by and about people with disabilities. First time we've done that on 3CR, and you're here with me, Helen William, and Rachel O'Connell.
Hello.
So we hope you're all listening out there. I know you're probably all just lying in bed, but get ready because we've got 12 hours of people talking about their lives, performing their music, talking about issues about disability. So just to give you a bit of a sense of what we've got on today, on the show this morning for breakfast, we've got Leslie Hall, who's the CEO of the Australian Federation of Disability Organisations, and she's going to talk to us about all of the big reforms and reform inquiries that are going on. There's the National Disability Strategy, there's the Immigration Review, there's the Productivity Commission inquiry into lifelong care. But is this all just a whole load of noise? Is it just more reports? Have we had it all before? Are we going to get somewhere? After that, Rachel, you spoke to Tom Shakespeare.
Yes, we're going to speak to hear from Tom Shakespeare. He's a British sociologist and a writer, and he features on a blog on the BBC called Ouch, which is disability issues. And he's going to be talking about his views on International Disability Day.
And then we'll have live in the studio Rebecca Feldman, who works with the Youth Disability Advisory Service here in Melbourne, and she's going to be talking about some live access events that are on this weekend and the need for more accessible venues for people with disabilities. We've also got the Legal Aid, Victoria Legal Aid, talking about justice for people with disabilities, how to make it more accessible, and Chris Morris from Divine, which is a website, an online community that's going to be launched today by the Office for Disability. And then after the second edition of The Front Page, we'll have some more promotions of disability events that are going on this week. And then we'll talk to Deb Lewis and Scott Nixon about the a technology expo that they went to last week, some tech talk about adaptive hardware for people with visual impairments. But before all of that, we've got the first edition of The Front Page.
The Front Page, where 3CR Breakfast explores what's being reported and what's not in Australia's mainstream media. How the media prioritise the day's news, including issues of bias, corporate influence, and who gets a voice and who doesn't. Monday to Friday at 7am and again at 8am. A critical analysis of the nation's newspapers.
So, yes, The Front Page, 4 minutes past seven. Well, I started The Front Page today, I started my research today, going through all the papers with a fine tooth comb, just to
You got collate. A fine tooth comb?
Yeah, just to collate all of the many stories that I was sure I would find about International Day for People with Disability and related issues. I was on page 18, sadly, of the Herald Sun by the time I saw anything. And unfortunately, that was a misread headline, James Packer in polio battle. And I thought, that's something. And I quickly wrote it down. And sadly, it was actually about a plan by him to build a polo complex in the English village. So, thwarted.
So no news. Is that good news, do you think? Probably
well,
not.
Well, in this case, no. But I went through The Age. You'll have something from The Age shortly. And there wasn't much in The Age. But The Australian, I thought we'd start with. The Australian does have on its page 6, towards the end of its paper, but it has a big article, about Care of Disabled, National Disgrace is its headline. The Australian reports that the Disability Investment Group, which was a government-appointed panel of experts, has found a national army, as it puts it, of 2.5 million family members and carers are giving their time for free to the nation's disabled, is its turn of phrase, yet the nation's disabled.
I think we need a bit of a march at the War Memorial.
I think so. It doesn't say heroic or inspiration or anything, but... we were disappointed, actually, that there was
That's right.
no such coverage. Anyway, the report found that the government services remain a national disgrace. The Disability Investment Group says that the bedrock of reform should be a no-fault government-funded national disability insurance scheme. And it says that there's a strong economic case. It could be funded out of general revenue or through a Medicare-style levy. The panel on the Disability Investment Group includes Rhonda Galbally, the chair of the National People with Disabilities and Carer Council, who will be a guest on this on this 12-hour broadcast today. The panel concluded that despite $20 billion spent annually by governments, there remains a large, growing, unmet need for care and support. And Bill Shorten's quoted yesterday saying that the panel's concerns are justified. So that was the relevant story in the Australian.
And the government's been flying a lot of kites around the National Disability Insurance idea. Both Bill Shorten and Lindsay Tanner have been blogging about this for some time. So hopefully it's safe to assume they mean something about it. And if Bill Shorten gets reshuffled, it won't just all disappear in a bit of personal interest. That it is something that the government seems to be building up to doing something about, perhaps in the way that they have with maternity funding, that, you know, it'll take time, but it'll get introduced.
Yeah.
All right, looking at The Age, as you mentioned, also no coverage, really, until you get to about page 13. It's a disability-related story, but there is no mention at all that I can find of International Day of People with Disabilities. One in five people in Australia has a disability of some sort. It may be physical, intellectual, or sensory, or connected to ageing, but one in five, not accounted for in The Age today either. And page 13 is really the only time you get a mention. There's another story of the airlines who just don't seem to be getting it. Jetstar, it is claimed by a couple, Glenn Bracegirdle and his partner Catherine Beaton, tried to fly the other day and were told that Glenn could not take his guide dog on the aircraft, which is allowed. Their guide dogs are allowed to go on. And when he attempted to explain that the dog was trained by Guide Dogs Victoria, I mean, he didn't have any pilot qualifications, obviously, but it was trained to go. He was told, you know, the clerk refused to budge, and he was later had a bit of a shouting match with a manager as well. And The Age is saying, in subsequent exchanges with Jetstar's customer staff, one was unsure about whether you could take seeing eye dogs on, and the couple was offered a $50 voucher. It was not actually really going to help.
That's extremely helpful. I'm sure that's almost as good as being able to go on holiday with their guide dog.
That's right. And the head of corporate relations there said that he took the matter seriously. So each one of these issues is, you know, ridiculous and resolvable, but when it happens every time you fly and every time it's something different, and I mean, I've had this, so I think that's the irritation factor is huge, and airlines need to get their act together. When I flew with, I won't name the airline, but I booked online a few weeks ago and called them up, and because they ask you to, they say, well, let us know if you have a disability, we'd like to know how many people we need to support if something happens. So I phoned them up and told them that I was flying, but I didn't need any assistance and I had crutches, and they said, oh, that's all right, and we won't charge you for the crutches. That's like, damn straight you won't.
That'll make you fly with them again. How generous.
That's right. So, you know, people, they come up with all sorts of nonsense. So that's all in The Age as far as disability is concerned. Leads with the failure of the ETS, the Emissions Trading Scheme, as Rosa called it last week, the Emissions Trading Scheme, and I think that's right. It's a bit of a scream more than anything else. Failed to get through the Senate yesterday. Moving on to The Sun, no coverage whatsoever of International Day of People with Disabilities, again.
There isn't, and I'd just like to point out that I noticed that although there was no coverage of a very important and valuable event, there was coverage of a wedding between two dogs, which is
there was, which
very important.
We should know about, I think.
Yeah, they're dressed in like proper wedding clothes and had a wedding kiss, and
So I think it's important that, you know, our journalistic efforts, all these graduates that are being trained every year, go off and do some of that kind of dog coverage. It's important that we give equal access to these kind of relationships. Also in the Herald Sun, there's some really attractive photographs of the new leader of the opposition.
Don't go there.
So the ACTU is focusing on the sensible. They're saying they're going to keep an eye on Tony Abbott in case the work choices gets revamped again. They're not going to have any of that, but the Herald Sun is more interested in what he's wearing, which are budgie smugglers, and I can't even find the page. It's obviously just combusted. But there's also a lovely photo, and I can't get over this. Julie Bishop, always looking very bridal whenever a new opposition leader turns up. I don't know how she keeps turning up as the deputy.
She's being class.
She is.
Quite a proprietorial.
That's right. Tony's got a hand on either side of her, so, as if to say, don't you say anything.
Just stand there.
Just stand there. That's right. Just look supportive like you did for the last three or four or five or however many there were. And the Fin Review, again, almost nothing, but there is coverage of, on International Day of Disabilities, but there is coverage of, again, the failure of the ETS bill, but also a growing story from the health portfolio that Health Minister has been, Nicola Roxon, has been warning pharmaceutical companies to basically find some cuts in some savings in the way they're charging their medical, the costs for pharmaceuticals, otherwise the government just won't pay the full price, so which is probably a good thing. We'll start hassling some of those.
Was there anything in the arts pages or anything?
There was, actually. So you should mention, it's probably the only place you can find disability coverage. And we give some kind of credit to The Age, which has a short review of a film that's on tonight on ABC One at 9:35pm. That's a doco about Rudely Interrupted, the band you heard just before we came on air at 7 o'clock. They're a band of five members who have varying disabilities from blindness, deafness, Asperger's syndrome and Down syndrome and autism. And they've been touring the world for a couple of years now. They've played laneway festivals, they've played around Toronto and New York and London. And this is a doco that follows them to perform at the United Nations in New York. It's a pretty straight review. We don't get any inspirationals, courageouses or gutsies, aww, which is excellent. So Jim Shembury gets a bit of a tick. We do get five of six members suffering. Some sort of disability.
So, suffering in there somewhere, didn't
well, I don't know. If you're flying around the world in a rock band and playing at the UN, I'm not sure suffering's entirely always
it's
on the agenda.
It's tiring, all that rock star lifestyle.
That's right. There's a great photo of them all wearing their shades and looking very punk. So, yeah, 9:35 on ABC One tonight. So moving on to the mainstream media, there's not much coverage of International Day of People with Disabilities, but just quickly to let you know that media is under the gun. Senator Stephen Conroy this week, who's the Minister for Communications, and Bill Shorten, Parliamentary Secretary for Disabilities, released a media release saying that they're looking to for public input on ways to improve access to television, cinema and other electronic media for people with hearing or vision impairments. There's going to be yet another inquiry, which is there's a whole lot going on. So if you've got disability, you can spend your whole life writing submissions, probably. But they're looking for new ways to caption, to communicate, not just for online stuff, but also free-to-air events, subscription television, films and cinemas, DVDs and audiovisual content to have inclusive electronic communications. And Bill Shorten says, this year is the 200th anniversary of the birth of Louis Braille, whose invention of the first writing system that could be used by the blind. And we live in an information age. We need to continue Louis Braille's work to make as much information as possible available to people with a hearing or vision impairment. Later on this afternoon on the show, you'll hear Rebecca Maxwell, who talks a fair bit about Louis Braille and his legacy for people with vision impairment. Up next, we'll have Leslie Hall, CEO of AFDO.
Buy a ticket in a 3CR raffle, and not only will you be supporting Melbourne's activist radio, but you could win a fantastic prize, including a giant bike from Lygon Cycles, a double pass to the Boite Singers Festival in Daylesford, as well as four CDs, a custom-made crumpler bag, or a fab haircut at the Red Room in Smith Street. Buy your tickets now. The raffle will be drawn on air on Wednesday, the 23rd of December.
Welcome back. You're listening to 3CR at 7:15 on Thursday, the 3rd of December, International Day of People with Disabilities. And all day we are having 12 hours of coverage of International Day, news and perspective and performances from people with disabilities. And to kick off the day for us, we've got Leslie Hall, who's the CEO of the Australian Federation of Disability Organisations. Hi, Leslie. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
So are you having a big day? What are you doing?
The first thing that I'll be attending is the launch of the National Companion Card, which is terrific. Victoria first introduced this about 8 or 9 years ago, and it was the result of terrific advocacy by people with disabilities. And that basically entitles you that if you can't attend an event and you need someone to assist you, then the companion gets in for free. You still have to pay your ticket, but the companion gets in for free. And this scheme is now going national, so it's a terrific advance. So that's the first thing I'll be attending.
So, so going national is a bit of a theme, I think. We've got a whole load of inquiries on at the moment. We've got a national disability strategy and the shutout report that came out of that, an immigration inquiry and the Productivity Commission inquiry into lifelong care. Are we actually beginning to see national reform so that people are getting consistent services and a consistent approach across the country?
Yes, well, I hope that that is what's happening. Certainly, Australia ratified the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities last year, and so that there does need to be implementation in all jurisdictions, in all states and territories of the convention. And I think, you know, this is starting to happen. It's still fairly slow, but there's such a backlog of reform that needs to be done just because, you know, we had 10 years of neglect from the Conservative Howard government. And so there's a lot of backlog to catch up on in terms of disability reforms.
So some of that neglect over the last 10 years, what does that mean in practice for people with disabilities in Australia?
Well, it means that a lot of people can't get supports and services. It means that people can't make the same sorts of lifestyle choices that other people can make. So that, for example, you may be able to get a wheelchair in one state, but you can't actually, if you want to move to another state, you can't do that because you can't take your wheelchair with you. So there's a whole lot of, absolutely ridiculous kinds of things that are happening at the moment in the lives of people with disabilities. Then, as well as that, there is the whole area of what we call unmet need, where there's so many people with disabilities who can't access any sorts of services. That area needs to be addressed as well.
So for the unmet needs, are those people intended to be within the scope of this inquiry on having lifelong care and insurance scheme, or is that really intended only for people with quite severe disability?
Well, it's the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare describes severe to moderate disability, severe disability as needing assistance with one or more areas of life, including communications and personal care. Hopefully, from our point of view, the feasibility study needs to take on that definition. And if that definition is taken on, then it will assist a lot of people and people who have got any sorts of support needs. But having said that, where the unmet need is at the moment is there's a lot of unmet need still with people with very severe disabilities. Those people will certainly be covered, but AFTA will be doing everything that we can to make sure that anyone who has a disability, who has a support need, is actually covered by this study. And, it's crucial because that happens, because at the moment disability system is an absolute mess. We've got so many different support programs which aren't giving people what they need. There's so many things that people have to navigate around, and then when what usually happens is that when something else is discovered that someone doesn't fit into a particular scheme, we get a new scheme just to cover that, and someone else doesn't fit into that scheme. So what we really need to do is actually do a total reform of the system, and that's certainly what we're hoping that this feasibility study will look at.
So as well as looking at the whole care system and how people get their supports, what are some of the other most important reforms that you'd like to see in the for people with disabilities, not necessarily just in the care and support area?
One of the things that is happening at the moment, as you mentioned earlier, is an immigration inquiry at the moment. And at the moment, if you have a disability, the likelihood is that you will not be allowed into this country as a migrant or as a refugee. and that is having a very severe effect on people. So that there's been cases where people have actually either not been able to migrate here or had to leave their child with a disability behind. And we think that that's just outrageous. So that's one of the things that we're hoping will change. You know, there's a whole lot of reform that needs to be done. Employment, you know, people with disabilities are less likely to be employed than people without disabilities, for example. You know, there's the area of education. Education's just atrocious at the moment. It's very much, a lottery as to whether you're going to get the sorts of supports that you need in education. We've still got over 400 people who are living in institutions in Victoria, and there's a campaign at the moment called the Shut-In Campaign to actually get all institutions in Victoria closed.
Yes, and we'll be talking to Amida at 1:30 today on 3CR Live about the Shut-In campaign, and as you say, we're trying to get 400 people still in institutions who should be living in the community and having the same access to rights as everybody else. So, Leslie, just to finish off, what's the International Day an important day for you, or do you want to see disability on the agenda all year round?
Yes, look, you know, of course I want to see disability on the agenda all year round, and we're certainly pushing for that. But I think it's the same with International Women's Day. I think it is a day where, you know, we can actually celebrate as well. You know, just so long as people just think that, oh, yeah, we've done that because we've done the International Day. Mm. We don't need to do it anymore. I think it's certainly worthwhile to have an event where we can celebrate the achievements of people, but at the same time focus on those people who, you know, who are missing out.
Fantastic. Well, have a great day, Leslie, and thanks for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
That was Leslie Hall, CEO of the Australian Federation of Disability Organisations. You go to their website, they're doing a huge amount of work on access to premises, on disability education and employment, and, of course, on the shutout and national disability strategy. So we'll be back in a moment with Tom Shakespeare. Just to remind you that we have talkback at 9:30 to 11 this morning, and you'll be able to talk about all of these issues and disability identity from 9:30 to 11.
Why aren't people with disabilities represented in Parliament?
Do we need a national disability insurance scheme?
And what is a disability?
This Thursday, December 3rd, is International Day for Persons with Disabilities, and 3CR's Talk Back with Attitude is dedicated to a discussion on disability issues. With a panel featuring Kerry Presser from National Disability Services Victoria, volunteer solicitor Adam Jones, and former State Member of Parliament Denise Allen. So call 3CR between 9:30 and 11 a.m. Put your question to the panel, tell us about your community event, or just get your campaign out there. The number to call is 03 9419 0155.
Turn up your radio, I got something to say. Turn up your radio, turn up the radio. I want a revolution, and I want it today. I want a revolution, I want a revolution.
And you're listening to 3CR Community Radio on International Day for People with a Disability. It's 24 past 7. Well, Tom Shakespeare is a British sociologist and writer and has been active in disability community and theory for more than 20 years. His blog features regularly on Ouch, a BBC website that reflects the lives and experiences of people with disabilities. Earlier this week, I spoke with him on the line from Geneva. So welcome to 3CR, Tom.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
So 3CR's been recording stories by people with disabilities for the International Day. Contributors have variously described themselves as people with disabilities or have used medical terminology to describe their condition. Some people are saying we should reclaim the term cripple, if only to get away from tedious ideological arguments. Do you think that we're struggling to find a term that people can embrace?
I think there's a lot of discussion about terminology, and obviously it's a personal thing as well as a political thing. I'm quite happy with disabled people or people with disabilities. I don't use the word cripple myself, but if somebody wants to know, you know, as it were, what I look like or anything, I say I have short stature or restricted growth, and of course I use a wheelchair now. So, you know, you pay the money, you take the choice.
So do you think that inability to adopt a collective term actually prevents people with disabilities operating effectively to achieve social justice?
No, I don't think so, because I think, you know, if we talk about disabled people or people with disabilities, most of the time we understand each other and we know what we're going on about. I think the thing is that it reflects the diversity of disability. It's very difficult to say who is and who isn't disabled. Many people with disabilities don't really identify as being disabled. So it's a very complicated category or identity. I mean, the terminology is the least of our worries. You know, it's the underlying variability that is the problem.
Well, in the UK, you're seen as controversial by some because, as I understand it, you believe that people are disabled not only by the attitudes of society, the social model, but also by their bodies. Why is this controversial?
That's right. I mean, obviously, historically, disability has been medicalized. We've been reduced to being sort of invalids or tragic figures or whatever. And quite rightly, the disability movement rebelled against that, challenged that, and showed that disability was really as much rooted in a social situation, the inaccessibility, the discrimination, the prejudice, and so on. And in doing that, they started what's called a social model of disability, which says people are disabled by society, not by their bodies. And a lot of us over the years got a bit frustrated with that. We felt that it wasn't fully accurate, and we felt that there was something about having a body or a mind that worked in a different way, which was important to us. It was important to how we felt, and it was also, it explained a few things about us. So I'm not trying to say that it's not social or political. Of course it is. Absolutely it is. But to say that we can't forget that we are also physically or mentally different, and that's significant in our experience.
So do you think it's sort of oversimplifying it or pretending something that isn't the case?
I think it can be. It is a form of oversimplification. I mean, it's. I think people are disabled by society and by their bodies. I mean, that's what I think most people experience, what most people think. Perhaps it's something to do with disabled people having been medicalized and individualized so much, wanting to reject all of that. And I think, you know, we've got to have a balanced approach. We can't pretend that disability isn't a disadvantage sometimes and for some people. In my last book, I call it a predicament. Not a tragedy, but also not just something neutral. It's a predicament. It's something we've got to overcome, deal with, relate to. We can't just pretend it's not there.
Hmm. Well, recently you've commented on the disproportionate impact climate change is likely to have on people with disability. Why is that?
Well, I write this column for the BBC back in the UK on their Ouch website, which is a really good website about disability. I've been writing it for about six, seven years now, and every month I try and think of something different. And some colleagues of mine pointed out to me that disability is a climate change issue. And that's because, you know, for example, if we're going to get disasters and emergencies, floods and fires and hurricanes and so forth, at an increasing rate, people with disabilities are more vulnerable to those. If people are going to have to migrate because of climate change, which is increasingly happening, that's going to be disadvantageous for people with disabilities. Increasing heat, kills people. As you know, I mean, in the European heat wave of a few years ago, tens of thousands of people died as a result of that. I'm sure in Australia that there are these problems of drought and forest fires and so forth. So I think there's lots of reasons. Climate change is going to disadvantage lots of people, but particularly people with disabilities. Because I think generally we're more vulnerable. When things go wrong, we're often the first to suffer, and we often have fewer resources to cope with, be they poverty or climate change or whatever.
You're working with the World Health Organization on their Task Force on Disability. What's that work all about?
Well, you know about the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and that's an agenda for governments to try and implement change, but also for international organizations. And the WHO set up a task force on disability, really to look at its own work. The organization obviously does lots of outward-facing things, but it has to get its own house in order as well. So the task force is about removing barriers, physical barriers, information barriers, employment barriers to people with disabilities, working or using WHO. And it's also about saying, as I've just been mentioning, that disability is a cross-cutting issue. So, for example, if we're talking about reproductive health, we've got to remember women with disabilities. If we're talking about HIV/AIDS, we've got to remember that people with disabilities are actually more vulnerable to HIV infection than almost any other group. If we're talking about violence, we've got to remember that disabled people are disproportionately subjected to violence and abuse. So it's not just a sort of narrow, separate issue. It should be mainstreamed in a lot of different areas of WHO's work. And that's the job of the task force. And we've had a really good response from people who are taking this seriously and who are thinking again about what they do.
Well, just finally, Tom, it's International Day for People with a Disability. Do you think it's important to have that day, or is it just a token?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, there's day of this and week of that and decade of the other. But it does help that once a year we stop and we think, debate and discuss. We draw attention to the fact that, you know, we're a huge percentage of the population. We're 10 or 20% of the population. We're among the poorest and the most excluded. Not speaking for myself, but speaking for the majority of disabled people in the world. And it's right that we should respect that, honour that, and try and change that. And that's why a day like December the 3rd is so important.
And that was Tom Shakespeare, British sociologist and an activist on disability identity, speaking on 3CR on International Day for People with a Disability. We're going to take a short break now, and when we come back, we'll be speaking with Rebecca Feldman.
Thanks for listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online.